tried my
stood with that.
Isaiah 29, I'm going to read verse number 13. And this is what verse 13 says. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as the people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Would you help me pray? Precious God and merciful Savior, Father, we come before you, Lord, this evening. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that place where we'll never go old. Father, I enjoyed all the singing tonight and enjoyed the time to pray, Lord, Father, and we're so thankful to be in your house. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, Father, for your will to be done in this message. Lord, it's your message. And God, I ask you, Lord, Father, maybe change me tonight. Lord, I've often been thinking about this and praying about this. Lord, if it needs be that I need to change, Lord, Father, you need to change the way I preach that we may, excuse me, Lord, Father, be more effective, Lord, Father, in helping folks, Lord, Father, in feeding your flock and feeding your sheep. God, I pray tonight, Lord, Father, when your word is proclaimed, Lord, Father, it's a special time. It's a message that comes from glory land, Lord, to your people. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, Father, with the utmost importance that our hearts would be open to receive what you'd have to say. And that, Lord, that we would be changed by your word speaking to our heart. God, I pray, Lord, Father, for the power and demonstration of your spirit, Lord, Father. And I feel pretty good tonight. Good, calm spirit, Lord, Father. Nice place to be. And, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would just speak volumes to our hearts. And, Lord, we would listen. We would take it in. We would respond. As I heard one preacher say, that we would adopt it into our life. And that it would be a guide or a help, Lord, as the days go by. And Lord, Father, above all things, you get glory and honor and praise into your high and holy name. And that if there's anyone here that's lost and undone, never been born again, never been saved, and Lord, Father, that they would come to the realization of the need of a Savior and a Lord this evening. Father, we want to pray for those that we missed tonight, Lord God. And there's some that's not here that's normally here and some that's not here that should be here. We want to pray for them. We love you and we thank you, Lord, Father. It's in Jesus' precious name we humbly pray. And amen. Thank you for standing and reading and praying with me. And in this scripture here in Isaiah 29, it's been a lot of times it's echoed and spoke from the Gospel of Matthew. And but there's something in here that God has been really dealing with my heart about here the last about month or so on a personal level. And he talks about here, and a lot of times when this scripture is used or this scripture has been quoted and things, it refers to pretenders or false believers or those that don't have, as we call, don't have the salvation that God gives. But here in Isaiah, where Matthew 15 gets it from, it gets it from Isaiah 29. And what God is referring to here, he's speaking unto his children. He's speaking to the children of Israel. And he was speaking to them whom he loves. And he still loves these children. And this scripture says here, a lot of times where it goes, where it says that they draw nigh with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me. And a lot of times, this is what God has showed me in the scriptures here late, is that but when it says that they have removed their heart far from me, and the fear that they have is because they have been taught it by the precepts of men. And can I say this tonight when it comes to the life that we live and the life that we have with our Lord and Savior, with God Almighty, with the Lord Jehovah. And a lot of times I know we say the things like, there is a fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it all has to stem from a heart situation, from the condition of the heart. And I'll just be honest with you, as I try to get to the place where, I'm in the place God wants me to be, but my heart is real torn today because the last little bit, because when I began to examine myself and examine to look at my walk with the Lord, the question that was proposed to me about a month ago, am I doing this because I have a desire in my heart, or am I doing it because it's what it says in the Bible? Now don't get me wrong, I think that we're supposed to do the things that are in the Bible. And I'm not saying we don't do things that's not written in the Bible. But how good is it to do the things in the Bible if you don't have a heart, if your heart is not in the condition to want to do the things in the Bible? And you might say, well, preacher, I don't understand what you're saying. It sounds like double talking. Well, it's not really double talking. Because, like, I'll do the speed limit. It's not because I really want to. It's because I have to. It's the law. I mean, if it was up to me, I mean, I'd be doing 65, 70 miles an hour through everything. But I know that's not the smartest thing to do, because there can be some repercussions. It can be quite deadly. But so can I say this tonight? When you do the things that's written in the Word of God, if you don't do the things with a heart and a love and in your heart to do those things, there's some repercussions that can happen. And what happens in a lot of situations and circumstances, and I'm trying at my very level-headed best, and I ask you to pray for me, because I do believe in today's time it's not as much as, and I hope this, you all want to hear me out when I say this, it's not as much as being biblically correct in all things and biblically sound, but to be heart sound and to be correct in our heart when it comes to loving the Lord. Because when it comes time, when it comes, boils down to it, it's like the old adage. I remember whenever I wanted to play the guitar, I loved the guitar. I wanted to play the guitar. And I would stay up late, and I would not watch TV, and I would sit at the dining room table, and I could not hardly pick up a cup of coffee or a glass to drink because my fingers were so sore, because I sacrificed my time, and I sacrificed the things that other people might think would be more needful, but I sacrificed it because I loved to play the guitar. And when it got, when I guess when you associate to something inanimate, it doesn't have much of a heart position or a feeling in your heart. But when it comes to an actual individual, when it comes to a person, can I say, you can tell whether or not if you have a heart or a love towards them or whether you don't. And it shows up in life, and it shows up in everybody's walk. It shows up in how they live. I mean, there's a real best explanation. It's like I can tell my kids I love them as much as I tell them over and over and over again. And if I'm just loving them because I don't want Tammy to leave me, so I ain't got to pay all kinds of child support on seven kids. Amen right there. Wouldn't want to do that. But if I just stayed in line and got along with my wife because I didn't want to pay the child support, that's not love. That's sooner or later, that's going to be a repercussion. It's going to show up in my kids' life, and it'll show up in my life. It'll show up as in there's no love between me and my children. And can I say the same thing that goes with my wife? If I'm just staying married to her because it's, as the old adage we used to say, and I'm not trying to be funny, we used to say it's cheaper to keep her. But can I say that if I not love my wife, it'll show up. And on down the line, mark her down, she'll know that I don't love her. You can't hide that. You can't hide the feelings of your heart. As it's been preached here so many times and been preached here as here of late, out of the abundance of the heart, so does the mouth speak. Out of the heart, out of the good treasures of a man's heart, does he bring, out of a good heart, does he bring forth good treasures? And out of an evil heart, does he bring forth evil treasures? But the thing that God has locked me in on is the relationship with him. The relationship and the love that's supposed to be there for him. And can I say this evening, when it comes to the relationship that you have with God, it should be based upon love, a heartfelt and a heart-filled love. It should be solely based upon love. And I'm not saying that's when you get saved, because when I got saved, I didn't know nothing about love. I just feared hell and felt the presence of the Holy Ghost in my life. And I felt the convicting power of my sins, Brother Paul. But when I stepped out and God saved my soul, there was something that moved in. But can I say, you can't base it upon feeling, because your feelings will confuse you. Your feelings will lead you astray. Y'all hearing this, preacher? So many times I've heard people say, well, I know I'm saved because I feel it. And that's all they say. And I believe that's partly good. I know I'm saved because I feel the presence of the Lord. But when there's times I don't feel the presence of God, Sister Doris, I still know I'm saved, because I believe by faith. I believe 100% that what he did upon the cross of Calvary. You can't change my mind. You can't change my way of thinking. And when I got saved, but from then on out, Brother James Powell, it has to be a love affair that I have with God if I still want to have the peace of God in my life. And can I say this evening? And you can surely find out where it is so important about the love. Because it really doesn't, and I ain't saying this, I ain't saying it's not as important, but it's not as important how correct you are in following the precepts of man than it is the love that you have with God. May I remind everybody, in Revelation chapter number 2, the Bible says the church of Ephesus, as we went over here this last week, and it talked about how They knew the Bible. They knew the scriptures. They knew the laws. They knew had everything set in place. They knew how to conduct services. They knew how to look and see of the good tree and the bad trees, and knew everybody and how their life was living. But still yet God sent a message through the pastor and said, but there is one thing that I have against you. He says, you have left your first love. He said, therefore, and repent, else I will come after you. I will come at you with a sword, and with a sword to come after you with. But can I say this evening? The reason why that some folks, a lot of times people lose that fire, that fervency for God, and that fervency to do things that God wants them to do, is because a lot of times they neglect the love that needs to be nourished, or the love that needs to be invested into in the life that they have with God. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Because can I say this evening? If you don't invest time with God, it don't matter what everything else you do. I was talking to a Sunday school teacher here recently, and we was talking about Sunday school. We was talking about all the studying and everything that goes together. I mean, you can study, and I was talking to someone else about this, but you can study, and you can study out all the scriptures that you want. You can actually have all the cross references that go with it. It can make total perfect sense, and it can be the most grandest of lessons to ever be taught in Sunday school. But if you have not a love affair that it is to do and be in that with God, the power that should be in that lesson will not be there, because the love that you should have for God is not there. Is that making sense to anybody but me? Because so many times, actually, if you have this, and I'm preaching to myself, because there's so many times we get in the mundane routine, or we get, you know, it's Sunday, it's church, and Wednesday, it's church, and Thursday, it's gym ministry, and we do all these things, and we got dates set up throughout the year to do things that we like to do in church. But can I tell you, if we spend that time investing in the Lord and investing in the relationship that we have for Him, we can quote all the scriptures, we can quote everything there is, but we'll fulfill, we'll be right in line with the scriptures that says we draw close to Him with our lips. We draw real close to Him with our voice and with our mouth, but our heart's been far removed. And the only reason why we keep going and keep going and keep going is because we know it's right in the Bible to still go to church and read your Bible. Y'all hearing this, preacher? What we're trying to get across tonight is that the love affair, or the relationship that you have with God, should go far beyond the Bible and should go far beyond church attendance. Don't get me wrong. I think the Bible and church attendance are essential in that relationship. But don't do a hill of beans. Don't do your hill of beans if you only do it on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. But for the rest of the time, and the rest of your days, and the rest of your day that you spend doing the ins and the outs of life, if you're not spending no time with the Lord. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 4, verses 4 through 11, if you like to turn there. These are the things that God laid upon my heart as I was going throughout this today. And it says in Galatians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 4, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, and rather are known of God, how turn ye again unto the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years, and I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He's wrote this letter unto the church of Galatia, talking about all the time that he invested in preaching the gospel unto them, and all the time that they spent, and how they believed and they loved God. But some things crept in that, if you'll have it, the Judaizers or the law keepers had crept in, and they began to tell them how that it was that you had to keep the law and keep the line upon line and the precept upon precept. But Paul was reminding them, he said, in the fullness of time. That means it wasn't based upon your time. It was based upon the fullness of God's time. That when it come time that He sent His Son to die and to redeem them that were under the law.
But I like what he says in the sixth verse. He says, and because ye are sons of God, God hath sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That means it don't matter who you are, man or woman, boy or girl, that when you got saved and threw him by the blood and threw him by the spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, that you became a child of God. And after that you became a child of God, he sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your heart. Now let's hold up right there. That means you're not a stepchild. That means you're not a grandchild. That means you're not a niece or a nephew. That means you're an heir and a joint heir with Christ. That means he looks at you as he's seen his son. You are one of his dear children. And can I say this? There's nothing that makes a father or a mother more enjoyed about their children than when the children invest time and spend time with the parents. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, I'm about to have myself a fit. Because God sent forth that spirit into your hearts, that wherefore we may cry out, Abba, Father. That means it's a term of endearment. There's a relationship that God wants to have with us. That means you don't have to call him Father because somebody told you you have to call him Father. Because if you want to, you can call him Dad if you really want to. And I'm glad tonight to know that even though we fail him on this end of the relationship, I'm glad he's never failed us on the other end. And can I say that though sometimes we don't realize just how much he loves us, I'm glad he'll pass by every once in a while and remind us how much he does love us. But can I say this tonight? It's a dangerous time that we're living in. It's 2016, and so many people's worried about being politically correct, or so many people's worried about being unpolitically or not being politically correct. But can I say this tonight? Let's not look at everything that's going on in the newspaper. Let's not go by what they say on the news, but let's go by what God placed in our heart. And if he loved us, we ought to love him. And if he sent his son to die for us and gave us his spirit, to say that we can be in the family. We ought to have a family reunion every once in a while and spend time with God. He says here in Galatians, Abba, Father. It says it's also used as a term of tender endearment by a beloved child in an affectionate, dependent relationship with their father, daddy or papa. I never thought about calling him papa, but it talks about that's from the Noah Webster's 1828. It's talking about that God wants to have that relationship with us. So many times we look at God, or folks want to put God in this old man sitting in a chair up in heaven with his side stocked up full of lightning bolts and waiting just to strike us dead when we see him. But can I tell you, God's not an old man. God is love. And God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, we forget sometimes this is all built upon love. It's surrounded by love. And that God wants to give us love. I like the scripture in Psalm 103. God pities us because he knows that we are like a children that pity, or a father pitieth his children, because he knows our frame and he remembers we're made of dust. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're not sinless. But oh, I thank God he didn't reward us according to our sins, nor has he dealt with us according to our iniquities. But he loves us anyway and still says we can be in his family. I don't know if anybody knows this tonight or not, but you can give birth to a child, and if you give birth to that child, something can happen and legal transactions can take place. You can divorce yourself from that child. But can I tell you, if you was to adopt one, it's law. Once you adopt that kid, you can't get rid of that kid. I mean, that kid is your kid for life. Ain't nothing you can do. That kid is your kid. I like the fact that Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. And I'm glad I was born again into the family of God. But I'm also glad he adopted me and adopted us as Gentiles. That means I'm double fold smack dab in the middle of the palm of his hand. And no man can get me out. That includes me. Even when I'm not focused on the love I should have for him, I'm glad I'm still in the crosshairs of his love. And he loves me. Y'all believe that this evening? In verses 10 and 11, Paul speaks about them observing the days. He speaks about them observing the times. Paul says he's afraid of them. The reason why he's afraid of them is because they care more about the days. They care more about the feasts. They care more about the things they got set up in the carnal aspect or in the worldly aspect or in the natural aspect more than they do the things that God had set up in their heart. You're hearing this, preacher? I mean, I've heard people talk about how they always look forward to their Friends and Family Day, and I love Friends and Family Day. And I've heard people talk about how they look forward to going to the camp meeting, and I love the camp meeting. And we talk about going doing the homecoming in August, and I love the homecoming. We got communion twice a year in October, and then the Saturday night before Resurrection Sunday. And all those things are good, but can I tell you, all those things are just days and times wrote down on a calendar. And it don't amount to nothing. It'll just be another time to get together if there's no love overwhelming up in your heart. And that for the Lord. Says here in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of men. Jesus is echoing, as we said in the beginning of the message, he's echoing Isaiah chapter 29. And Brother Paul, he's talking to them religious people. He's talking to those Pharisees, those religious folks who think, well, I know this and I know that because it's been passed down from generation to generation. And I love the King James Bible. It is the Word of God. But that King James Bible is nothing but pulp and paper. It is wood and ink. It is nothing for good if the love of God and the Spirit of God is not in your heart when you read these pages. You said, preacher, that's mean. Oh, it is not mean, because I do remind myself in the book of Jeremiah when they took the Word of God and they cut it up with a penknife and burned it upon the heart. And God said, write it again. It don't matter how many times you write it down here, because it's settled in heaven. Somebody say amen right there. But this Word of God, just because it has the precepts, it has everything that we need to get through life. But the most important thing to have is that love for God. That love for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, it says, warn you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and of cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you to have done, and not leave the other undone. These scriptures are things that God had placed. I think I remember even telling somebody about this scripture here recently. But can I tell you, so many times we get all wrapped up in the things that's got to get done. It reminds me of Martha in the book of Luke when she was serving and she was cumbered about with much serving. And Jesus, she was upset and she said, Jesus, don't you even care that I'm doing all this work by myself? And she said, don't you care that Mary's sitting at your feet and she ain't helping? And can I say this tonight? There's many of us that might be even been here, and the thought has even maybe entered into our mind and maybe into our heart that maybe so-and-so ain't doing the things like they ought to do. They ain't working like I am. They ain't doing like I am. And I don't think it's fair, and I don't think anybody really cares. But can I tell you, Jesus really does care. But can I tell you, there's a time for the service, and there's a time for being at the feet of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, the Bible says that's the needful part. That's the needful part. Don't get me wrong. I think it's proper that you do things that ought to be done, and at the house of God, and that's your own home, and even throughout your daily service. But the one thing we cannot neglect nor forget is the love and relationship with God. Can I say, you can get so bad that, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and it talks about all the things in the perilous times that should come. But in verse number 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The power of God is the love of God. I don't know how many times I have seen people, they have maybe have been in church all their life, and they have dressed the right part. They have acted the right part. They have carried the right Bible and sung the right song. But to find the love of God upon them is to have to get a search warrant, the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA, and you cannot find the love of God. I'm not trying to be mean. What I'm trying to get at is it's not in the letter. It's not in the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. Because the Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And can I say this tonight? There's many of people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They also says, from such turn away. What are they saying, preacher? So many people wants to talk about God and say they know God and say they represent God, but they don't have the love of God in them. And can I tell you this tonight? The love of God will do more things in a person's life. The love that you give towards somebody will show more things than anybody else's life. The Bible says love will cover a multitude of sins. I've seen people who's been ridiculed and pushed around and neglected and pushed off in the corner and forgotten about. And I've heard people say, don't you associate with them. Don't you call them on the phone. Don't you text message them, because they're a bad individual and they're a bad person. But can I tell you, somebody took time for this bad old boy who wasn't the best of society, who wasn't the one that y'all brought home to mama, but somebody took time to show me a little bit of love, and it made a world of difference in my life. Woo! Bless his righteous name. And I think what a lot of times we forget today in the church world is that love is the reason why we're here, and love is the reason why we've been drawn to Calvary, and love is the reason why we've been saved. It wasn't the nails that hit him to the cross. It was the love that he had for you and I, and that's the reason why we should love him. He says here, Paul's talking to Timothy in the days, the perilous times that should come. He's talking about how they have a power. Or they have a form, but they don't have the power. And I've often looked at the scriptures. I've often looked at the other people. And can I say this tonight? A lot of times I've had somebody ask or talk about sometimes, why do you always pick on Baptist churches? Because it's the people that I know the best. It's the people I know the most. But can I say, pretty much in denominational world, when people cling to those things, and even the people who try so hard not to be a denomination, they get wrapped up in the things of the world. I was thinking about the message, and when the Lord preached about how folks look at the scripture, when the scripture says on the sheep and the goats, when Jesus said that when they didn't do this to him, they didn't give him water, they didn't give him food, they didn't give him drink, they didn't give him all those things. And they said, when did we not do these things? He said, when you didn't do it to one of these little ones, you didn't do it unto me. Now, can I say this tonight? I want you to make this perfectly clear. Please don't leave out here and say, my preacher doesn't think we should help people or help anybody in need. I'm not saying you shouldn't help nobody in need. I'm not saying you shouldn't help poor people. I think you should lend a helping hand. But if you're trying to do it based upon works, thinking it's the work that's going to get God pleased, you are doing it all in vain. You barely, barely, you have that reward, and right there it is. But if you do it from the love centered and placed in your heart by God, then will God look down. Then will God be pleased. Then will you grow closer to God. And then you can tell and realize there's some treasures laid up in heaven. I've been told by people before, they said, preacher, we ought to go do this and we ought to go do that. And I'll ask them why. They said, because the Bible says so. And they'll say, preacher, even you say that. And I have said that. And I still do say that. But God reminded me here this last little month. He says, you can say all the things you want, Jason, all the catchphrases, stir the congregation up, get the stump speech you going, rally up the base, and everybody be all right. But if you ain't got no love in your heart, everybody else in that church or the people who the message really needs for it to go to won't listen to the message. Ain't that right? I've heard many of preachers who's great, real good preachers. God give them such great knowledge, but they have no love. And it does not go no farther than their teeth. I have been in Sunday school classes where people have studied and people have done all the things and got it all together and had all the notes and seemed so intelligent, and they had done a good job, but they had no love, and that lesson didn't go nowhere. Because the love that we have, when God spoke through that prophet and told that prophet, he says, they come real close with their mouth and their lips, but they remove their heart. Their heart's not in it. The heart's not in it. And if your heart's not in it, mark her down. Pretty soon you won't be in it. Right. Words and works won't last. They'll wear you out. Right. One of the first things I got told, Sister Michelle, by all these preachers, whenever the Lord first had me come pastor, first time pastor, and everything they always said was, don't get that burnout. 3 to 5 years is when all them pastors normally quit. Y'all hearing me? 3 to 5 years, I'm approaching my third year. And people saying, you gotta watch, them preachers get burnt out. They get burnt out. And I was sitting there about a month ago, and the thoughts will come. And God told me, he said, Jason, if you don't remove your heart from me, if you don't remove your heart from me, y'all hear me? If I don't remove my heart from him, I'll be exactly where he wants me to be at as long as I live. But when we remove our heart, did you come to church tonight because you wanted to, because you had a desire in your heart to be at church? Or did you come because you had to? Or did you come out of obligation? I've done that. I'm not throwing off on nobody. But I tell you what, church ain't as good when you come out of obligation as it is if you come with it in your heart. And so many times, And I was thinking about this, and somebody was talking, we was talking about preaching, and we was talking about voices and things like that. And I remember for the first year or so on Sunday morning, I couldn't hardly talk after Sunday morning service. And Eddie would say, get you a preacher for tonight. Get you a preacher for tonight. I said, God will take care of it. I couldn't talk. I'd get in the pulpit on Sunday night. And I'd pray. And you'd all would pray. And we'd pray after we get done reading. All of a sudden that voice would clear up. And we'd have ourselves a service. Get done. Get out of the pulpit. Couldn't talk no more. Why? Because it's amazing what God will do when your heart's in it. Preacher, is your heart not in it? No, my heart's in it. But I had to get my heart checked this past month. Not that I'm not saying quitting. I'm talking about where's my priorities. If I'm going to stand up here and tell you, if you all done a checkup from the neck up or from the chest up, don't you think the pastor ought to too?
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
Because it says here, if you have that form of godliness but deny the power of it, the Bible says from such turn away. But can I get to this, and then I'm about to be done. In the New Testament, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. It don't matter what we do. It don't matter how well we do it. What matters is if we've got love in our heart. The Apostle Paul says in Corinthians 13, if you had the tongues of angels and the tongues of men, and have not charity, that's that love actually working, that love actually moving. He says, I've become nothing but a sound of brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand the mysteries and all knowledge and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Can I stop right there? If there was a dollar for every time that I have heard throughout since I've been saved, people talk about how much they brag upon spiritual gifts, I would have more money in my bank account than the Powerball. And that's all they're talking about right now is the Powerball. And I understand why. But all that money don't mean no hill of beans if you ain't got God in your life.
Amen.
And you don't have a love for Him. I've heard people, and I'm not throwing off on folks, and I'm not throwing off on denominations, but and some of them don't do it. But a lot of them talk about, well, this gift and that gift, and what's your gift, and who's this gift, and how would you get that gift, what kind of gift you got? Well, there's one gift you better have for sure that trumps all of them, and that's the love of God. Because if you don't have love, and if you ain't working, being motivated by love, Paul says you're nothing. Because realize this, in the eighth verse it says charity never fails. That means love never fails. Love working never fails. But whether there's prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there's tongues, they shall cease. And whether there's knowledge, it shall vanish away. But love will never vanish away. He says, faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. You can stand there and name it and claim it. There's one guy on the radio, he talks about it all the time. He said, I prayed, God, I want this, and I believe you're going to give it to me. He said, God always gave it to him. And I ain't doubting the man never done that, but not one time of all the times I've ever heard him preach on the radio, I've ever heard him say, God, I just love you. And if you don't give me another thing for the rest of my life, I still love you. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the houses. It's not about the cars. It's about the love that I needed in my life.
Amen.
And you fulfilled. I may be getting mushy this evening. I don't care. But love is the center of it all.
Yes, it is.
In 1 John 4, verses 6 and 8, a lot of times we look at this, but here's the best way John puts it the best way. He says in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 6, he says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. James Powell, that's how I know what to do and what not to do. What's truth and what's not truth. Because there's a love that lies in my heart. You ever get them, I don't know if anybody else here gets these questions. They'll come to you and say, Jason, do you think if I did this, I know it's kind of on the line and it's on the cusp, but if you think I did this, you think God would be mad at me? If you start off with a question saying, do you think God will be mad, then you best not do it. I love you. There we go. Solves the problem. Why ride the line? Because that love is supposed to show us the truth. It is the truth. And also shows us the error. And if you have not the love of God, can I say this? I have become the victim of my own demise.
when the love of God has not rested, or I have not invested in the love of God, and when that error comes by my way, I'll make a mistake. I'll slip up. Somebody say, I'm yawning. It's true.
Yes.
If you don't have love motivating you in all the things that you're doing, it will fall, it will fall, it will fall. Amen. He says in verse number 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse number 21 says, and this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother. Love your brother. It says in verse number 20, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You ever come across them? I've come across them. But he says love is of the Lord. Love fulfills the law. The letter kills. The spirit gives life.
Amen.
John 15:9, and I'll be quitting. John 15:9, he said, as the Father loveth me. As the Father loveth me. How much love do you think God loved Jesus Christ? How much love do you think God loved Christ? And then he says, so have I loved you. As much as God loved the Lord, the Savior Jesus Christ, that's how much love Jesus Christ loves us.
Amen.
Then he says, continue ye in